Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Leaf Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the evolvement of Judaism. Judaism has been around for thousands of years, and throughout time it went through different developments and changes, and we'd like to understand how does all this lead us to a new life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, our journey today is going to go through different stops in the history of the Jewish people, the different processes that the Jewish people went through, different changes, and also, as a result, the changes that Judaism itself went through according to the different conditions and periods and the state of the people. And when we look at Judaism as a whole, well, at least historians, they divide it into several periods. So I'll give a general overview and then we'll zoom in. So first of all, there is the times of our forefathers, the ancient times, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, where the Jewish people began to form. Then there's the period of the Jewish people since they have received the Torah. They received the Torah, the state of Mount Sinai. Then they went into Israel, the times of the first and the second temple. The next period comes after the destruction of the second temple. The Jewish people went into exile for 2,000 years, and there too, they go through different stages and processes until a certain awakening begins, and up to the times of the Jewish enlightenment and secularity, then immigration to Israel, settling in Israel, and to this day. So there are different things that the Jewish people go through throughout their history, and every time the Jewish people change, at least apparently, and up to the point where we ask ourselves, who are we really? Meaning our identity, after all we went through, isn't that clear even to us. And so we'd like to go and look at all of this journey through the special point of view of the Kabbalists. And so let's start with the first period, the formation, maybe the first desire that awakens in a certain person that maybe starts scrutinizing a certain question. And until then, actually, until the times of Abraham, there were pagan beliefs, meaning people believed in many gods. There is the god of wind and the sun and of this and of that. Every natural phenomena had a god of its own, and you pray to it. Suddenly, a person wakes up one morning and says, wait a second, something else. Well, not exactly, but so we'd like to understand what really happened, even in mankind, that suddenly awakens in man a different kind of thought. Everything that happens comes from man that starts treating his environment differently. He maybe starts identifying new phenomena in his environment, and the new phenomena that he identifies it out of his developing desire, and therefore man feels new phenomena. Maybe this phenomena existed there before, and who knows what else is there around us. Only we reveal all of these things according to our desire, our evolving deficiency. And therefore, Abraham, he really started thinking about one God, one upper force that included in it all the rest of the forces that all the Babylonians back in his times used to bow to. And he actually supported them. He made idols and things, meaning he himself, he was very into it. His father, Terach, and he, they were priests. And they really worshipped many idols back there. First of all, Babylon, back then, it was a place where actually all of mankind was. Afterwards, they dispersed. And the entire modern world came from there. And so He took care of all those people who wanted to pray, who wanted to understand, that wanted to calm themselves down, that wanted to calm the upper force down for him to treat them favorably. Whatever a person wants for himself, this is how he's naturally directed. Why did they search for connection with the upper force? They felt that they're dependent from their ego, and this is why they wanted to be in contact with the upper force. Yeah? And so we see all over the world, it later on developed and took different directions. But it's actually because there is something unknown that's superior to me, that's sudden, that I can't control. And therefore, somehow, I want to have a good relationship with him so he won't get mad at me or anything. And therefore, an entire system, a broad, very broad system developed here where there are priests, and therefore Abraham and both his father, they probably made a good living from these things. They got money. They sold statues, idols. There was probably a large variety, not like today. You appreciate the upper force responsible for wind? Please, this for you. You want rain? Rain, no problem. Everyone has what they want. And also at the price that you're willing to spend. Great. Good business. But when people, when the Babylonians start complaining about fighting with each other, there was no answer for that. No answer. There was no such idol that's responsible for strife. And these quarrels, they suddenly began in the times of Abraham and the nation in a way that he didn't know how to solve this. People simply started treating each other poorly. Before that, they treated each other in a nice, good way, you know, like in a small village. And suddenly, their relations became very harsh, everyone demanding of each other, being discontent with one another, and so on. And people came with all of these complaints to Abraham, and he didn't have an answer. He didn't know what to say, really. And so it happened then that he started searching. What idol can I build? What idol's responsible for the relations between people? Yeah, and maybe I can also profit from it and succeed and so on. Everyone starts out from the ego. And then he understood that here there is a special force, that it's not the wind, the rain, the sun, the soil, or some other evil force in the image of some demon or something, but that there is a very special force here. That this force, it doesn't exist outside of us like the rest of the forces of nature, but it exists inside of us, inside people, that previously we didn't see this force. And now suddenly, he discovered, oh, this force exists in you. This is the reason. And in him, and in her, we have to bow to this force that grew, called our ego, that I want to control others, that I want to harm others, that I enjoy the extent to which I'm greater than others and the extent to which I can and am capable of harming them. This is what that force forces a person to do. I want for them to envy what I have. I want to rub it in. I want for them to respect me, love me. Why? Without why. Because I am who I am. I'm close to myself. I appreciate myself. They should appreciate me the same way. But to pay for it? No, I don't even want to pay them for it. Meaning, our ego is an unlimited force. It really demands us to control the entire world. And this is what Abraham discovered. And along with discovering that evil force that exists in nature, because before that they were like animals. They lived with their sheep, with the fish, because nonetheless there was water there and beautiful fish. And they lived a simple life, but they had everything. It's really a very beautiful, very good place. And suddenly, the strife between them grew so much that they wanted to build a tower up to the sky. Previously, they didn't want that. But no, we'll reach the sky. The pride grew so much. And they started building it, a kind of ziggurat. And they didn't finish building it because they started fighting. And then they threw everything away. And Abraham then started calling out to the people, explaining that against that evil force that became revealed in them, there is also the force of good in nature. From the research he did of where does it come from, why, and what for, he found that all of nature is balanced. And if it's balanced on the smaller degrees, on the lower levels, smaller levels, like previously they used to bow to different forces and they saw that nature is balanced, then how is it that nature isn't balanced on the higher levels and that everyone hates each other? Opposite to the hate, there has to be love. So how do we invite the force of love in order to balance out the hate? And what he discovered is that this is something that man himself has to do. What do you mean? That he has to invite the good force for it to fight and equalize with the force of evil, and that in between these two forces of good and evil, we can live in peace. So why not create an idol of love, for example? Let's pray to it. Why not? They couldn't. Why? Because that evil force came from within them, not from the outside. Who am I making an idol for? I myself am an idol. That evil force that now exists in me, I myself became the idol of evil. So what? I'll put this idol in front of me. I'll bow to it. I'm already bound to my evil as is, because it's controlling me. Yeah? Now the entire problem really becomes inner work, because against this evil, I have to position the good force. Where am I going to take that good force from? And this is what Abraham started researching. And then he discovered that besides the evil force, besides the minus in nature, there's also the plus, the good force. Only we have to invite it ourselves. And in order to invite it ourselves, we have to show that we're willing to be good somehow. And the sign for it is that we're bonding, we're connecting with one another, like it was before the ego erupted in us. And so he called out to the people. Nonetheless, it was a priest. And he said, let's correct the situation. Let's not allow the bad relations between us to take the best of us and destroy our society and our families and everything. And thousands came to him. And from that, he formed that group that he called Israel, because they're directed Yashar Kel, which is a different pronunciation of Israel, which means to be directed straight at that good force. And together they learned, how do we have to connect in order to draw the good force upon us, for it to awaken in us, inside of us? Outside of us doesn't mean anything. Inside of us. And so it will balance out the evil force in us, so that between the good and the evil forces, we can exist in peace. And this is what he did with that group that he formed. These were many people that were willing to do it because the situation was really grim. And so he did it. And the others that saw that he's succeeding, but they didn't have the strength to turn to Him, to overcome, to connect, and so on. And they didn't come. What does it mean that he succeeded? Inside his group, the relations between people improved. They improved, of course. What he taught them was that love covers for all crimes, and love another as thyself, and so on. And then he said that we're bowing now to this force of good. God forbid, not to the force of evil, but only to the force of good. They can bow to the evil force. That's their own business, those that don't want to be with us. But we're bowing only to the force of good, which is what? Connection, love, mutuality, helping each other, and so on. Okay, so there's a certain perception that says, he succeeded in deriving a special force from nature called the force of love. They're living in peace and love between them. So what? Isn't it something that creates envy, a desire to... This is why he had to run away from there. This is the reason. He didn't think about running away from there, but because everyone started attacking him and his group, so they decided that they're leaving, and they left. They left Babylon and started heading in the direction of the land of Canaan, to that place where Israel is. This is the first period. I have one more question about this period. People tend to attribute the beginning of monotheism to Abraham. How do you see this? Now, it's very simple. He says, stop praying to the wind, to the rain. All these things depend on the way we balance out the good and evil forces. If we bow, meaning we acknowledge the force of good, because if it's in control and everything's good, that's why we call it good, then where are the rest of these forces? These are the forces of nature. This force, it's not the force of nature, the force of good, just like the force of evil that we're revealing now. It's a force on the human level. It doesn't come with the wind, the rain, the sun, the this, the that. It's not something that comes from the corporeal nature that's around us. This is really a force that exists only inside a person, and not only inside people, but between people. So what is this one force? When people say the one force, what is it? It's the evil force that distances people from one another and the good force that brings people closer together. So these are two forces? Yes. So why does it say that what Abraham brought was believing in just one force, one God? Yeah, because who to bow to, who to respect, who to turn to, who to come closer to the one positive force that brings connection between people. So let's see if I get it. Until Abraham, people bowed to different forces, whatever they saw around them. But between them, they were pretty much connected because they had a very small ego, a very small will to receive. They were like in a small village. You know, everything's nice, convenient. It's still possible to find these kinds of places. And so they really feel dependent on the forces of nature, wind, rain, this, that, everything that exists around man. This is the only thing that they had to get along with. And these were the different idols, the forces of nature that people prayed to and worshipped in their simplest perception. Yes. This was how it was until Abraham. Afterwards, after what happened, Abraham comes and says, look, let's start looking inwards, not only at what's going on around us in nature, but also inside our own nature. And then, according to that negative force that awakens in a person that you call the ego, that causes strife and pride and for people to move away from each other and to want to control and use each other, and against it, says Abraham, and this is the new thing that he brought to mankind, He says, we can awaken, we can draw a balancing good, positive force, and this is what we have to bow to. Yeah? Now, this force, is it a part of the forces of nature? What does Abraham direct people at? Inwards. It doesn't exist outside of man. This force exists inside of man. So this is the revolution that Abraham creates in mankind? Yeah, he says that the good and evil forces exist inside of man, and that we have to awaken the force of good. And this is why the evil force is becoming revealed in us too. Why are these things connected? In order for us to reveal the force of good against it and to balance them out. And what does it mean to bow to the force of good? That this is the force that arranges all of mankind correctly. That the force of evil is revealed only in order for us to reveal the force of good and to allow it to take control. This force of good that we have to discover, according to Abraham's perception, is that Abraham's God? You can call it God. And actually, the new thing that Abraham brings to the attention of people is that we ourselves have to awaken this force of good? Yes. The force of good doesn't awaken on its own, but the evil force pushes us to reveal the force of good. This is why it's called help made against him. But what's the difference? Because before that, they prayed, they brought offerings to different idols, but not to the human forces that exist inside the person. What Abraham did was that he explained to them that all the forces exist inside the person. The evil force and the good force, they both exist inside a person, and therefore we have to awaken the good force against the evil force. The evil force is constantly being revealed in us. There's this kind of engine that's churning and turning all the time, and this is how we reveal that we're ever more evil and demanding of each other. And the force of good is that we ourselves have to discover it. It exists in us, but we have to invite it, reveal it, to do it forcefully, elicit it, for it to stand against the evil force, and then between these two forces, we will find peace. What's the essential difference in the work? If previously in the pagan society, they used to have different rituals and bring offerings and pray to idols, were I to look now at Abraham's group that started doing a different kind of work, what kind of work are they doing? Who are they praying to? What's the difference between this work and that work, spiritually wise? Previously, they were on the same level as the rest of the Babylonians, who discovered that they're all dependent on nature. And in that, they weren't that much different than animals. Animals are dependent on nature. They are. So are people when they're on the animate level. But all of that is so useless in life compared with the force of strife, the force of evil that appears between them, that everything else simply goes unnoticed, unseen. And they exist inside the person. This is what he says. He doesn't say, let's build an idol and bow or pray to it because this force exists outside of us. Not at all. There are no idols. He destroyed them all. We have to bow to the force of good for it to become revealed in us and to pay attention to the force of evil that exists inside of us, because the force of evil exists only in man and the force of good can become revealed only in man. It's a tremendous revolution. It's not looking outwards, but truly looking inwards, that man has to change
that I can't buy some idol for money, put it on a shelf, and that's it. I'm calm. Or to pay someone. But I myself have to reveal the good and the evil that's inside of me, and to balance them out, to exist between them. This is where man's free choice is. This is Abraham's period, meaning the transition from believing in many gods, external ones, to believing in one God, one force that's internal inside a person, that man is included of these two forces. And this force that exists between people, inside of people, it's superior to the other external forces of nature? Of course. We also stop attributing anything to them. There's nothing there, because these are the forces of nature that, if I get along with this force of good and evil, then everything else comes under that. Meaning, he really made a very big revolution, and this is why it's called monotheism, meaning that it exists only inside the person. And it's not like people think that, okay, now I have one big idol instead of many small ones. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. We'll talk about this more on our next shows. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.